Good morning from Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church. We welcome you to our morning worship service online. If you're listening in on Sermon Audio or Facebook Live or YouTube, we trust the Lord will bless you as you gather with us today. The Word of God reminds us in Philippians chapter 2 of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His humiliation. It says there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray for a sense of thy presence in our service this morning. We pray that thou wilt speak to every heart through thy word. And we pray that thou wilt challenge every life. And that thou wilt meet every family and every individual. And O God, that thou wilt speak through thy word by thy Holy Spirit this day. And for the glory and honor of thy name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning in our hymn book to Psalm 2, why he raids the heathen on vain things. Why do the people mind? Kings of the earth do set themselves, and princes are combined. The psalm and hymns you'll hear are from previous services in our church. Page 5 of your own hymn book, if you have it there, you can turn and join in the singing of the psalm. Let us unite together in prayer. Let us all pray. Eternal God and gracious Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence this morning in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for this privilege that we have of drawing aside to meet with thee, of coming into thy holy and sacred presence. We pray for thy nearness and thy touch upon us and thy grace that is sufficient to meet our need even this day. We pray, O God, that thou wilt meet every heart and meet every life. And we pray that thou wilt work in each individual and each family circle today for the praise and for the honor of thy holy name. We ask of thee for the salvation of souls, the building up of believers in their faith. We pray, Father, where there is discouragement, that thou wilt give encouragement. Where there is distress and, Lord, disquiet, that thou wilt give that peace, even in the midst of life's storms. We pray for any who are backslidden, that thou wilt restore to them the joy of thy salvation. Father, as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and the journey he took in this life, we thank thee, O God, for all that he was upon this scene of time, the perfect life that he lived. We thank thee for the miracles that he performed. We thank thee, O God, for all the ministry he gave while he was upon this scene of time, the preaching and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ recorded for us in Holy Scripture. We thank thee, O God, for the way that he took to the cross. And, O God, we are reminded today, even in the Scriptures we referred to earlier, that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. He suffered and he bled and he died for the redemption of sinners. We thank thee, O God, that we can say today with Scripture that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We thank thee for the redeeming blood of our Savior. We thank thee for the atoning work of the cross. We praise thee, O God, that he finished the work of our redemption. Upon that cross, he cried, "It is finished." The work that the Father had given him to do, he finished it. And we thank thee, O God, that he purchased eternal redemption for his people. And we rejoice, O God, today that we can say, "I am redeemed. O praise the Lord. My soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me." Oh, we thank thee for redemption. We can say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Afresh, O God, today, draw us under the shadow of the cross, that rugged tree where Jesus died for sinners. We thank thee, O God, for all that he endured, the anguish, the agony, the pain, O God, the death that he died in order that we might be saved. Oh, we thank thee today from the bottom of our hearts for redemption. As we come, Father, we pray that through thy word afresh today, we might be blessed as we think about the cross, as we think about the suffering Savior, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. We pray that every eye will be fixed upon him, as every heart will be drawn toward him. And we pray that today souls will look with that eye of faith and be saved, O God, from their sin. We pray for the working of divine grace in homes and in families today, in individual hearts, for thy praise and glory. We pray for those who are in special need today, those who are hospitalized, those who are ill at home. We pray for all such, for thy healing touch, for that balm of healing into their bodies today, to restore them to wonted health and strength. We pray for those who have known loss and bereavement. Think of the Catterson family today and the loss of Elizabeth's brother-in-law. We pray for comfort for Elizabeth today and all of the family circle. We pray that they may know thy presence in this time of loss. For others who've experienced loss in times gone by, we pray that thou wilt draw near to them with thy grace and comfort too. O Lord, thou art the God of all grace. Thou art the God of all comfort. We pray that thou wilt draw near to all such today. We pray, Father, for our land, for our island, for this nation, for the world and all its need. We pray that thou wilt meet every need. We thank thee for what you've done even through this time of pandemic. Even our own land here, further afield, how the vaccination program has gone out to so many, helped so many. And Lord, prevented people from taking this awful virus. Or, oh God, even prevented deaths. We thank thee, Lord, for this. Bless all involved in this program. We pray for doctors and nurses, all involved in hospital work and health care, that thou wilt bless them today. Pray for our government today, that thou wilt turn their hearts to thee. Thou wilt guide them to make decisions, O God, that are right and righteous in thy sight. We pray, our God, that thou wilt overthrow at this time this proposed abortion legislation. Lord, the killing of the unborn. We pray, O God, that thou wilt have mercy upon our nation and upon our land and those legislators that will promote this. O God, have mercy, we pray. Intervene, Lord, we ask of thee, and answer prayer in this regard. O God, turn our people, turn the peoples of the world, the populations of the world to thee. And Lord, that thou wilt answer prayer, even for thy praise and glory. Be with us now, grant us thy help and thy presence as we meet together at thy feet. May we be like Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Jesus said of her, she had chosen that good part and should not be taken away from her. May we choose that good part today. Sit at thy feet and hear thy word. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We do welcome you again to our service today and trust that the Lord will bless our coming together in his name. Wherever you're listening in, whatever device you're using to listen in today, trust the Lord will bless you and meet with you even this morning. Remember the season of prayer? We encourage folk in their own homes this afternoon to pray and to seek the Lord's face. We need to pray in these days. And we trust you'll remember that this afternoon at some time, to give time before the Lord, to seek the Lord's face in your own home. And then tonight at 7 p.m., the service again online, and sermon audio, Facebook Live, YouTube. You can link in by these means to the service, God willing, at 7 p.m. It's our family and friends night service. Special testimony from our brother Danny Roberts. And do remember him as he comes tonight to give his testimony and tell of the grace of God in his life. And we trust that you will join in and tell others about the service, that they will join in as well at 7 p.m. tonight. Wednesday evening for our Bible study and prayer meeting online at 8 p.m., the survey of the New Testament continues with the focus this Wednesday evening on the first epistle of Peter. And again, we encourage prayer at home after the Bible study is given online on Wednesday evening. Thursday at 7:30, God willing, the church hall upstairs, with social distancing and all of that, the restrictions observed. There'll be a church committee meeting at 7:30. And followed by a meeting of Kirk Session. That's this Thursday night. God willing, you have items. Church committee members have items for the agenda for the committee meeting. Please let us know by Wednesday at the latest. And then next Lord's Day, Easter Sunday, April the 4th, God willing, you're back in the church. We look forward to seeing you again and being with you. A lot of people now have been vaccinated, and we trust that people will feel more comfortable and able to come out to the service if it's safe for you to do so. We trust you'll be able to do that at the services next Lord's Day. And now we're into the longer evenings. We trust maybe folk that were a bit hesitant about coming out after dark, you'll be able to come out now in the weeks ahead to our evening service as well. So next Lord's Day, doors will be open, God willing, at 11 a.m. All health restrictions, of course, social distancing, mask wearing, except for exemptions, and sanitizing of hands. All of these things are in place, and we're expected that you would follow them as you've been doing in the past, again into the future. Next Lord's Day is our Easter family service at 11:30. Brother James will bring a brief Easter children's message. I will bring a closing word. And it's also the dedication of Dale and Natasha's second daughter, Paige, at the conclusion of the morning service next Lord's Day. Do remember the Easter eggs for all the children who are present at the service next Lord's Day morning. She'll leave the service of the Easter eggs available for you to pick up then. And know the boys and girls, and not only the boys and girls, but a lot of the bigger people look forward to the Easter eggs at Easter time. So remember that, please, next Lord's Day morning. And then the evening time, 6 o'clock, the doors will be open for our communion service. And for all the Lord's people who wish to join with us, you're saved and walking worthy of Christ. The communion service will begin at 6:15 p.m. Bring your own bread and wine. If you don't have a receptacle for the wine, you can get one at the church at the morning service, or as you leave the morning service next Lord's Day morning. For others planning to attend the evening service, the doors will be open from approximately 6:45. Around that time, you'll be able to get in for the evening service at 7 p.m. And I'll be the preacher myself, and our sister Natasha will be bringing messages and song. Do remember, please, these Easter Day services, as we remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, and as we have that note of victory in our services next Lord's Day. The building fund is next Lord's Day at both services. All loose collections and building fund envelopes go toward that. And do please remember that. Missionary Council offerings from last Lord's Day can be brought if you mark it and put it in. As for the Missionary Council, that's what it will go toward as well. And do remember, members of committee at session, to check on your rota, that all rotas are covered, door duties and other duties are followed. If you're not going to be available next Lord's Day, please do get someone to fill in for you. This is very vitally important all the time, but especially in these times. And do pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses. Those who are hospitalized, those who are ill at home, recovering from surgery, recovering from other illnesses, pray the Lord's hand will be upon them. Our sympathy goes to our sister Elizabeth Catterson, the loss of her brother-in-law Friday past. Please pray for the family in their time of sorrow. I understand the funeral is tomorrow, so remember the family in your prayers, that the Lord will comfort them this time. We'd ask you to pray for our brother Stephen Brown, an elder from our Dunmurry congregation. Of course, brother Sam Roy's father-in-law, Stephen, had a consultation during the week. He's to have surgery after Easter, and they're very positive about this, and do pray that this will be successful. The surgery will take place as soon after Easter as is possible. Do pray for the healing touch upon the Lord's servant at this time. Remember also others that need our prayers, and do continue to remember them at the throne of grace in prayer. Returning to the hymn number 43 in our hymn book, Not Now But in the Coming Years, It May Be That in the Better Land, we read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. Sometimes we don't understand what's happening to us in the course of life, the sorrows, the pains, the anguish that we have to go through, all these distresses, but then we'll understand sometime in the Lord's plan and in the Lord's purpose. Page 193 in the hymn book, if you have one there, and you'll hear this hymn from a previous service. Number 43, trust you'll join in the singing of it. Let us turn to the Word of God for our Bible reading, the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, and reading together from the opening verse. Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 1. Let us hear the Word of God. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing the witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us bow together for prayer. Let us seek the Lord's face today and pray that God will come and meet with us around his precious word. Our gracious God and loving Father, we pray for help as we consider thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings of Christ. And as we consider this subject, I want to refer to a few words found in the passage that we have read from just now, in the second chapter of Hebrews. These are the words in the ninth verse that I want to refer to. The suffering of death. The suffering of death. In Hebrews 12 and verse 3, the exhortation is this: For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Consider the sufferings of the Savior. This world is filled with sorrow. Wherever you look, no matter what country or continent you go to, no matter what people you look at, you will find sorrow. Not one person in all the world is exempt from sorrow. Philosophers of every age have acknowledged it. Biographers, no matter how shallow their treatises may be, have recorded it. And experience has confirmed it. From the fact of suffering, there is no escape. It sinks its fangs into rich and poor, high and low, saved and lost. And except for natural causes in war, perhaps the greatest injuries have been inflicted upon people because of their Christian convictions. Since the vicious slaying of John the Baptist, who died for his testimony of Jesus Christ, there has been no intermission in the attacks upon the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And history is revealing in its gruesome accounts of human suffering inflicted upon thousands of disciples of Jesus Christ. Battered and bleeding bodies of helpless, humble believers have been dragged through the streets. Men, women, and children have been made to kneel while the axeman's blade severed their heads from their bodies. Christians have been crucified. Some have been torn limb by beasts, while others were dipped into boiling pitch. Others were sent to the rack, and others burned at the stake. And these are but a small number of the many methods of torture used by the enemies of Jesus Christ in the years since the Lamb of God was slain upon the cross of Calvary. And we wince today as such atrocities are recounted. There's the torture of the mind, the agony of the soul, that escapeless gnawing suffering which no other person can truly share. Of course, records of this are uncommon. Words do not accurately portray what people had to endure and even presently are enduring in this world because of their faith and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you brokenhearted because one with whom you shared your confidences have betrayed you? Think of the Lord Jesus Christ and what was said there. Mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Are you misunderstood? Do your associates not value your taste or your choices? Remember the said of Christ, he said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Have your friends, have your loved ones forsaken you? Remember this, all the disciples of Jesus forsook him and fled. Do others torment you and seek to put you to shame because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, prophetically, it was said, and it came to pass of Christ, Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Psalm 22, verse 16. Do the injustices done to you inflame you until you think you must retaliate? Jesus was afflicted. Yet the Bible tells us in that great chapter, Isaiah 53 and verse 7, yet he opened not his mouth. Do you believe no one cares? Jesus declared, I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, for comforters, but I found none.
They give me also gall for my meat and my thirst. They give me vinegar to drink. Do you feel the burden you carry is too great? Remember this. What a declaration this is. The Lord hath laid on him, that is on Christ, made to meet on him, the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah 53, verse 4. And oh, today we come under the shadow of the cross to view the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The suffering of death that the Lord Jesus Christ endured for you and for me. And I want to come to the subject today, the sufferings of Christ. First of all, I want you to notice the sufferings of Christ were voluntary. Christ suffered willingly and cheerfully. He was not taken by surprise. He knew from the beginning what would befall him. The idea of Christ's death being that of a martyr is nowhere found in Scripture. He did not fall prey to his sufferings as a helpless victim who could not defend himself. While the ignorant man heaped upon him humiliation and shame and suffering, yet he endured it all voluntarily. The Lord Jesus Christ voluntarily went to the cross. See his often repeated statements. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things. Again, Matthew 17:12. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer. Luke 22, verse 15, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You see, my friends, the sufferings of Christ were according to the divine plan that was prearranged before the incarnation of the Son of God from eternity past. Jesus taught this truth. He rebuked the two disciples as journey that day to Emmaus in Luke 24, verses 25 to 26. Then he, that is Jesus, said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Millenniums before his birth at Bethlehem, he volunteered to suffer. The Old Testament Scriptures, according to 1 Peter 1:11, testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The only Scriptures in Paul's day comprised of the Old Testament. And of these our Lord was the author. Therefore, he must have offered himself in eternity past, from all eternity. It was planned. It was in the purpose of God that the Lord Jesus Christ should die the death of the cross. The 10th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 11, says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he came into this world to give his life for the sheep. Going on down that chapter 10 of John's Gospel to verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Voluntarily, you see. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. No man could take the life of Jesus Christ except he willed it. I am the life, he said. And therefore, there can be no power or force that can compel him to lay down his life. He laid down his life voluntarily. As they hung upon that cross, the Roman soldiers offered him a sedative to ease his sufferings, to make his death less excruciating. But the Savior was willing to suffer. The Bible tells us. And they gave him that. In Matthew 27, verse 34, when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ volunteered to suffer consciously on the cross. And therefore, we are convinced that he faced the agonies of Calvary and the death of the cross knowingly and willingly. One has written these words, "When we suffer, how hard we find it to be still. The flames of resentment, how they leap up in our bosom and flush our cheek with angry red. What impatience there often is, what murmuring, what outcry, what publishing of our sorrow. But the Spirit of our Savior is loftier and grander, unutterably. In sublime and magnanimous silence, he endures to the uttermost, sustained by his mighty purpose and by the conviction that Jehovah wills it. It was the Father's will that he should go to the cross. And the Savior was willing to go to that cross." Remember, as he suffered the anguish and agonies of Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Suffering of Christ was done voluntarily. But then, secondly, the sufferings of Christ were vicarious. Vicarious suffering is that which one suffers in the stead or in the place of another. When one suffers voluntarily in such a way, one acts most nobly. It's not uncommon to hear of one taking on themselves the punishment that someone else deserved. In a lonely cemetery near Palma, Missouri, a modest marble tombstone bears this inscription: "This monument is dedicated to the memory of Hiram Smith, who was shot at Palma October the 18th, 1862, as a substitute for William T. Humphrey, my father." You see, during the Civil War, William Humphrey, along with 9 other Southern sympathizers from Palma, were found guilty of abducting a Northern farmer. And for their crime, they were to be executed. But for some reason, William Humphrey was spared on condition that a substitute die in his place. With only a little time remaining before the execution, 22-year-old Hiram Smith offered to die and was shot in Humphrey's stead. That was a vicarious sacrifice. He died in the place, in the stead of Humphrey. The word vicarious describes accurately the how of Christ's suffering. But Christ's vicarious sufferings differ greatly from Hiram Smith's vicarious sufferings. Hiram Smith offered himself at the last moment. But a few moments between death and the man who was sentenced to die. Jesus Christ offered himself to die as our substitute, your substitute and mine, before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1, verse 20. And by his sufferings, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the sufferings that we deserve to bear, and bore them in his own body on the tree, that we might be delivered from those sufferings. We might have been left to ourselves to bear the judgment of our own sin. But instead of being abandoned to our own fate, God, in his infinite wisdom and indescribable love, has found a better way, that his Son should die in our place. and take our sins on His own body on the tree. The Son of God agreed to become our substitute. And thus we read in that great chapter, Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord hath laid on Him, that is on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. 1 Peter 3:18, For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And by no other interpretation of the Holy Scriptures, by no bold denial of the facts in the case, nor by false deception can we escape the all-glorious and eternal truth that Jesus Christ gave Himself a ransom for all. What a ransom price was paid on Calvary's cross for sinners like you and me. Oh, my dear friend, today, may you be drawn beneath that cross. Grasp the nail-pierced hand of Jesus and to trust Him by faith as your Savior today. As a believer and the believers in Christ, may we be drawn today to give thanks to the Lord for that great suffering, that vicarious suffering, that suffering that was voluntarily taken for us. But then thirdly, the sufferings of Christ were victorious. To what chief end and purpose did the Savior offer Himself? Since we have discovered the why of His sufferings, we have a right to investigate whether or not His sufferings resulted in success. Were the eternal plans of God frustrated or fulfilled when Jesus died? Are we merely to present a posthumous award and continue in sorrow and despair with the idea that His valor was in vain? Or did His sacrifice gain the victory? Since, as we have said, Christ gave Himself a ransom for all, it was necessary that the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile should be broken down. The Jew, the Gentiles were poor, wandering outcasts. Ephesians 2:12 says, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The Gentiles had no claim on the promised Messiah, for Israel possessed the promises. Jesus Himself said to the woman at Sychar in John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. You remember that Syrophoenician woman, she fell at Jesus' feet there in Matthew 15:22-23. And she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And the scripture says there, He answered her not a word. As a Gentile, she had no claim on Him. But the sufferings of the Savior accomplished what no other could do. Blessed be God today. The blood of Christ has broken down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. And now in the cross of Christ, the enmity has been slain. And the Gentile and the Jew have likewise trusted the Savior, are gathered together in one body. See, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 2, verse 16, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And this is God's masterwork accomplished through the sufferings of His Son. What a glorious victory was wrought on the cross of Calvary as Christ bruised the head of the serpent. It was a mighty reconciliation that was humanly impossible. Apart from the sufferings of death and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one new man whom He hath made both one would not exist. Jew and Gentile are individual sinners are on equal footing. All men, whoever they are, must meet at the cross of Christ. wherever you are today, oh, that you might meet at the cross. You might bow the knee to Christ, trust Him as your Savior. There, at the cross, God intervened for the helpless Gentile, for the unbelieving Jew alike, and provided a way of salvation through our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may come in at Calvary's cross. It's where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Will you come today, dear friend, as a sinner to Jesus? We've yet to find any natural way in which Jew and Gentile could find a way of conciliation. But Christ, in His sufferings, cancelled the debt of both and made peace by the blood of His cross. What a glorious victory. Among the manifold victories wrought through the sufferings and death of the Savior is the glorious triumph over the evils of this present world. You see, my friend, in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God provided man with a remarkable deliverance from the daily practice of sin. Here is something that neither education nor philosophy nor civilization nor reformation can accomplish. You see, man is universally the slave to sin, sometimes a willing victim. And it is concluded in our day that all moral improvements have failed to rid the heart of its tendency to evil. A natural inclination and bias towards sin and ungodliness. History shows us that many of the ancient philosophies and religions degraded life by their vile teaching and immoral practices. They were powerless to supply the need for victory over sin. Not despising noted lawmakers and the many worthwhile attempts at reforms, but we must all agree that every effort of man to try to curb people from sinning has proved to have failed. God still sees that the wickedness of man is great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart are only evil continually. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And as it was true then, it's true today. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and men are still estranged from God. But delivered out of this morass of humanity, there is to be found a body of true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who are living daily a life of victory over the temptation to sin. And these constitute the body of Christ, and are saved out of all nations of the world. North and south and east and west, every country and every continent, every color and class and creed of people. We should ask the true child of God to reveal the secret of their power over sin. He or she might answer in one word, delivered. Delivered. Such have learned that Christ, according to Galatians 1:4, gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us, there you have, from this present evil world. You see, all sin exacts a penalty, exercises a power over His victims. But Christ, in His sufferings and death, did the work that no other could do. He defeated Satan on the cross, destroyed the power of sin. And out of personal experience and by the wisdom of God, the Apostle Paul wrote these words in Romans chapter 6, verses 14 and 18. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Freedom from sin, deliverance. Through the precious blood of Christ, through the work of Christ on the cross, through the sufferings that He endured, the death that He died, the blood that He shed. We know that Satan is the prince the power of this world. But praise God, we can believe the word of God today. It says in 1 John 4 and verse 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Praise God for that. You see, my friend, the suffering Savior is that Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Will you behold that Lamb today? Look by faith to Him. Victory of His sufferings. Old Pastor Paisley used to say, "Step into the victory of Calvary." Well, that you might step into that victory continually. If you're not saved, have never known this victory, it is our prayer that today you might be saved. You see, the sufferings of Christ were voluntary and vicarious and victorious, but the sufferings of Christ were vital. That's the final thought. Or if you're ever to be saved, you must look to Christ. You must look to that sacrifice that He made, to that substitutionary work that He did upon the cross, to the shedding of His blood, if you're ever to be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, not some sins, or not most sins, but all sins. Keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Will you plunge now beneath that blood and lose all your guilty stains? Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. The sufferings of Christ are vital, friend. Vital for your salvation. Oh, that you might trust today in the bleeding Lamb. Come to that fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Will you do that today? I pray you will. I trust you will, even today, the sufferings of Christ, the suffering of death. May God bless His word to our hearts today. We'll bow in prayer and close in prayer, and then you'll hear the hymn which will close our service after we pray. Thank you for listening, and we trust that God will bless His word to your heart. If you're not saved, you'll get in touch with us. Or just where you are, call on the Lord that you might be saved. And trust as a believer, God's word has helped you today and been a blessing to your heart. May God bless you all and thank you for joining our service here today at Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we come to Thee today and we pray for Thy blessing upon Thy word. We pray that, Lord, Thou wilt speak through Thy word to every heart. And we pray for those today who know not Christ, that they may come to know Him. For those of us who do know Him, that we will be closer drawn to the wounded side of our Savior. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. The hymn will be sung 497 from a previous service in our church. Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. It will conclude our service today. And again, thank you for listening. Let's stand as we sing.